painted with pitch inside and out. Pitch is antiseptic. Amen. It's a sealer. It's a healer. Inside and out. The window at the top was one by one by one. These three are one. If you want to see anything, it has to be through God. Amen. Your natural eye will be blind to it. You have to have revelation. And it carries, this ark carries all sorts in it. Not any one species was in it. There was a myriad. I call it like this. The church is made up like a box of licorice all sorts. You'll have some you like. You'll have some that you leave behind. And you'll have some that you just want to give away. All right? But this is about the kingdom of God. But this morning, I want to talk about this pattern of the tabernacle. May we talk about that. I want to give you some revelation here this morning. If you don't understand it, write it down. Talk to me after a little bit if you want. If you do not understand the tabernacle, you will only have a very elementary knowledge of the truth of the New Testament. It is the very revelation of Christ in the midst of a people. The whole structure of the tabernacle is the cross. The whole representation of the furniture through the doors of the outer court going into the holy place, into the holy of holies, the furniture on the sides, the Ark of the Covenant is the head, which is Christ. The whole picture is the cross. Amen. And through the cross, and the reason that God gave Moses a picture or a pattern of the tabernacle was, in Exodus chapter 3, he says, I have come down that I may lift you up. The same picture of Jesus today. He came down that he might lift you up. Come on. And it says, he might lift you up and deliver you from that. And in Exodus 3, it says, that land of Egypt into the promised land. But whatever he's delivering me from that, he came down to deliver me out of it. He didn't leave me in it. It's his love that delivers me out of it. It was not my suggestion for him to come down. He came down because he so loved me. Amen? We need to get this picture. So I haven't got a picture of the tabernacle, but picture it with me. There's this tent of meeting, this tabernacle. 2 Peter 1 actually says this, I must shortly put off this tent. One version says this tabernacle. You are the temple of the whole, 1 Corinthians, you are the temple of the holy. You're the temple. You are a tabernacle. In fact, we should be tabernacling with God every day. Amen? But there are certain veils I must come through, certain scenarios and situations I must enter in. Can I have an amen? So the outer court. The first curtain, it was closed off. You just couldn't go in there. There was three doors to enter into the outer court. To enter into the outer court, to go through with your sacrifice, and hear me, anyone that has to enter in must have a lifestyle of sacrifice. You go in there to bring sacrifice. You don't go in there for nothing else but to bring sacrifice. But to get into the place, to go through the curtain, you could not pull the curtain aside. You had to go underneath. You had to lift up the curtain. In other words, you had to bow down. To get into the place of the realm of the things of God, you must come with a humble spirit. You can't come haughty and proud. To enter into this tabernacle meeting with God, you've got to come with a humble heart. Amen. So this veil, these three doors, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, these three doors, these three are one. These three doors, you could enter in, but you had to humble yourself to get in. Amen. Then we see the brazen altar, which is a type of Christ. He's the forever living sacrifice set before us. Then we have the brazen bowl, the polished bowl, which is to break your image because you're a new creation in Christ. That old man has passed away. You're a new creation in Christ. That image that from the water where you washed yourself, baptism, that image is now broken. You have now become a new creation in Christ. Amen. But this morning I want to talk about the other part, the outer court, The outer court is a place where people meet and people sacrifice and people bring their offering. The outer court has an illumination of the natural light. The outer court is not a spiritual aspect at all. It's what really, it's your step of salvation. You've entered into the things of God. It is your realm of your flesh. It is, in fact, 1 Corinthians 3, 1 says this, why there's envy, division, and strife among you, are you still not yet carnal? You and I can have carnal Christianity in our lives and carnal Christians around our lives. It doesn't mean that they're not Christians. That just means that they're in a place of carnality in their thinking and in their service. Can I have an amen? And sometimes, and please hear me as a pastor, sometimes this can be quite frustrating because sometimes in a person's walk, all they ever want of God is a thimbleful. And that's enough. But if you're like me, I can't survive in a thimbleful. I need the more of God. Anyone like me this morning? I need the more of God. I have to have the more of God. So I'm going to talk this morning about the holy place and the holy of holies. Bear with me, because I'm going to go on a quick journey. Can you put the slide up, please? Is there a slide? Have we got a slide? Morgan, help me, help me. Every time God gave a pattern, it was to reveal his glory in it. Amen. It was a pattern of deliverance. It's also patterns for his presence to dwell in. I've shared with that. Can you give me the next one, please? The word translate of glory is kabod in Hebrew. This word is derived from the root that is basic meaning, literally means heavy. It literally means heavy. Amen. From the root it came another word, a word which means rich, weighty, powerful. Speakers of ancient Hebrews would refer to a rich person as heavy in wealth, much as we might say, people are loaded. They're loaded. Oh, they got plenty. They're loaded, weighty, heavy. Amen. A similar extension of the literal sense of kabod includes being loaded with power, reputation, and honor. That should be honor, not out. Oh, does it say honor? Or honor. It is from the use of the word that we get the meaning of glory. God's glory is God's weightiness. That's what it means. God's glory is God's weightiness in qualities such as his might, his power, his beauty, his goodness, his justice, and his honor. The weight of that inner knowing, that weight of his glory. I'll put it in another word. The isness of God. He is everything I need him to be. That weight of his presence that surrounds me. The weight of his presence that comforts me. The weight of the anointing of his presence that causes me to endure what I have to endure. That weightiness about him. Amen. That weightiness like Paul would have experienced in prison when he could sing a hymn. In the darkness of the king's dungeon, the lowest of lowest prisons, he could sing a song in the midst of his darkness. And it was only the jailer that asked for the light because he was already full of the light. He did not need the light. He was singing in the light. Amen. He had revelation that darkness could not comprehend. Amen. He was carrying a weight of the presence and the glory of his God. And I believe that's the glory that God wants to reveal to the earth afresh. His weightiness, his reality, his strength, his power, his might, his honor. And I'm going to add another one, his love. Amen. So we see it with David, with the temple. When David gave the pattern for the temple to his son Solomon. Solomon built the temple. Amen. What happened was when he said, Lord, what should we do for you? The glory of the Lord filled the temple and they all fell down. Such was the weight of his presence. And I'm telling you now, this temple should experience the weight of his presence in our lives. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Notice it's his power. It's his might. It's his honor. It's his glory. It's his, everything is his isness. It's all about him. All I am is this conduit, this vessel that carries something from him. Amen. You see that in Ezekiel, he saw a temple. It's now the church in 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, and you have from God, and you are not of your own? Philippians 3:17 says, "Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern." Paul was a pattern to people. Your life and my life should be a pattern for people. Amen? How to live right, how to act right, how to talk right, how to be right. Does it mean I muck up? I muck up. But I get up and I keep on living and I keep on walking and I keep on doing. And do I muck up again? I muck up. But I keep on walking. I keep on living and I keep on doing. Amen? I keep holding the banner over me, which is love. I keep upholding the banner over me, which is a decree and a declaration that my God is good. Amen? That He is my way maker. That He is my miracle worker. And He will cause me to endure what I need to endure. He will strengthen me in His isness. He will strengthen me in His glory to keep on walking and doing and being what He needs me to be in this hour. A vessel unto honor. A vessel that is full of the fresh oil. Anyone want fresh oil this morning? We need the fresh oil of God. You can read that in Zechariah chapter 4, that the sons of fresh oil were there against the altar. And all of a sudden, these trees, these sons of fresh oil were pouring out upon them. Literally, what it means is sons of, that word, it means sons of fresh oil. That oil should be flowing out the bride of Christ. That oil should be flowing out of every born-again believer. It's not good enough just to be filled. In fact, that's so self-centered. Just to be filled with the Holy Ghost. He fills you to give it out. He fills you to pour it out. And when you pour it out, He'll pour more in. Just ask the six vases when Jesus was asked to fill them up. He says, "We've run out of wine." "Oh, what do you ask of me, woman? It's not my time." "Just do it as He says." Oh, Mary says, "Do as He says." And they filled it up and He said, "Now draw." Six, man. Earthen pots, vessel. Water, the Word. But you can't just live on the Word alone. You need the Spirit. Amen? You need the Holy Ghost. He turns the water into wine. Glory to God. He turns that which is the natural into supernatural. Just to change the molecular construction, just to change from water to wine is a miracle all by itself. And you are the miracle that He's created. And He wants you to be poured out to the party. Hallelujah. And let them see that the latter wine is greater than the former. Hallelujah. Are you with me? God's glory is His weight of His goodness, His isness. Every time God gave a pattern, it was to fill with His glory. This new temple that God has today is you and I. Its purpose is the same. Its temple He wants to fill with His glory. His weight of presence, solid, substantial, loaded. His isness, designed on a pattern. And the pattern is Jesus Christ. He's your pattern son. Jesus Christ, He is what I should be. He speaks what I should speak. And He acts how I should act. Amen? Why do you think He says you have the mind of? Hallelujah. And greater works than these than you shall do. He wants me to be a pattern son. Hallelujah. He's the firstborn among many brethren. Firstborn. In other words, if He's the first, there must be a what? Must be others. We're His brothers. Amen. Yet He's my God. Hallelujah. This new temple God has today is in you and I, His followers. I want to reiterate something here, and I don't want to burst anyone's bubble, but you need to hear it. It's His followers, not believers. Because even devils can believe. Amen? Followers. Amen? Its purpose is the same. It's a temple, a tabernacle, 2 Peter 1. He wants to fill His glory, His weight of His presence, the life of His Son who is known as the pattern son. I am getting to the point of where I'm trying to get back to the tabernacle, so bear with me. Romans 8:29 in the ESV says, "For those who He foreknew, He ought to be destined to be conformed to the image of His Son," the pattern. "Be conformed to an image in order that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." Colossians 1, 18 and 19, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that is everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. In him. Amen. John 17 and 22 says this, and the glory, Jesus said, the glory that you have given me, I have given them. Hallelujah. That they may be one just as we are one. The whole reason for the glory, the whole reason for the fellowship of the Spirit is to bring me in union with the Father. It is not for show. It is not to have a great fanfare of meeting and demonstrate the power of God. That is not what it's for. It's to bring me into relationship with the Father. So that relationship then demonstrates to others around me that he is alive. Amen. Why would you want froth and bubble when you can have substance? Hallelujah. The life of his son Jesus, known as the Patent Son. Turn with, go to the next one, please. I don't know if you can see them, but that's the holy place and the holy of holies. Sorry. I want to talk about how it's built. I want to talk about how it's built. Each side of this holy of holies, it's 20 cubits long. You read this in Exodus 26, Exodus 36. I want you to look at the bars on the picture on the right. There is five bars, four external, one internal. The center bar, the internal bar, goes through the planks, goes through it. The other four are external. The outward expression of the things of God are hung there. They're all gold, which is the glory of God. The planks are made of shittim wood, acacia wood. They're enclosed in gold. Amen. Psalm 101 says, you are trees of righteousness planted by the Lord. The wood speaks of your humanity. The gold speaks of his glory. Amen. The temple, the tabernacle is made of people, but clothed in the glory of God. Joined together. But the center one is not broken. It must go through every plank right to the end. In other words, the thing that you cannot see is the thing that keeps us together. The thing you cannot see is the things that bind us together. And it's his love. The external things are his works. Each side has five. Five times five, five plus five plus five is 15. The divine order and love of God. Amen. Five is grace. Three is complete. Are you with me? This tabernacle is built on the foundation of grace. The God of the Old Testament is not a horrible God. He's not this warrior-like, destroying God. He is a loving Father. He is a loving Father. And he came down that they might be brought up into relationship with him. The whole temple, the whole tabernacle is built on grace. Every board, it's tenons that had to stand up. It is probably 4.5 to 5 meters tall, these boards. It is not a small place. They had tenons, and the sockets of these tenons had to be filled on silver sockets. If you count the boards, 20 plus 20 plus 10 times 2, and there's two boards in between on the corners, all up, it adds up to 100. Perfect divinity of God. In other words, his grace is absolute. Its foundation is full of grace. Its foundation is full of grace and the glory of the Lord. Are you with me? And the church, which is the temple of God, should be built and should be revealed as the works of God by these bars, joined together in love, standing on the grace and the mercy of their God, separating them things from this earth, because that's the earth and the wood. There was the grace that stood between them. We should be showing and just demonstrating grace to every believer and every person around us in a lifestyle that reveals his glory. Knowing that when no matter who you are in Christ, if you're in Christ, it's not a suggestion to love you. It's not a suggestion to be nice to you. It's a command to love you. And if I refuse to love you, that board is no longer joined as one. You might have the externals of joining, but that internal rod, if there's a disconnect, if there's a separation, he replaces the plank. So your whole life, my whole lifestyle should be a life of love, lifestyle of grace. Anyone find it sometimes hard to love? You don't have to put your hand up. Just nod. We all have that struggle. We all have them issues. We all have them. There's challenges in life. The church is made up of all sorts. All sorts. I mean, there's all sorts in the church. And he's commanding me to love them. He didn't say, oh, just love those who love you back. Just love those who celebrate you and pat you on the back and say, good job, Robbie. Great to see you here, brother. No, love the unlovely. Love the unlovable. Love those who you want to pull your hair out. Notice. Love those who make your hair fall out. Just keep on loving them. Here's the dilemma for us as Christians in the love language. A lot of times I put a condition on my love language. If you do, I will. If you do, I will. If I see you repent and I see you getting on the things of God and I see you doing what I think you should be doing, I will love you more. Sometimes we condition our love. Let's backflip. What if Jesus did that to you and I? Where would I be? If I'm to bear the image of him. Now, here's a perfect picture on the cross. To one thief, he said, today you will be with me in repentance. Yeah, from repentance. But did he say to the other thief, today you will be in hell? No, he didn't. He never said that. He never said that at all. I'm of a firm opinion. God's love is so great. He will walk someone to the ends of the earth in the hope that they would turn. He would leave the 99 and go after his one. He would leave his house and leave his purse to one side and look for the lost coin. He would hunt for it high and low. That's the love of the Father. The love of the Father, Brother Bob preached it the other day. When the prodigal came back to his right mind, he was waiting. He was waiting. And when he returned, in the son's mind, he was unworthy. But in the father's mind, he wanted to restore him. He never asked him where he spent his money. He never brought up what he was being involved in. He never said to him, why did you do that? All he did was change his clothes from unrighteousness to righteousness. Wash him. Put a ring on his finger, say he's mine. problem is sometimes the church acts like the elder son. We act like the elder son. The problem with the elder son is he didn't know what he had. Amen. He didn't really know what he had. Now there is a consequence of what the younger son had to endure. The father never restored his inheritance. He spent it. The other two-thirds were for the older son. You can't touch that. But his love was restored. His reward wasn't, but his love was. Acceptance. So these boards are set in sockets of silver grace. The whole emphasis was God wanted a fellowship and tabernacle with man. You'll read in chapter 26 that God, the order that God tells them to build the furniture. First thing God tells them to build is the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark, which represents the glory and the very presence of God Himself. In other words, before you do anything, make sure you have relationship with God Himself. Before anything else takes your eyesight, before anything else takes away your what's the word I'm looking for? Your focus. Good word. Your focus. Remember the Lord. You shall have no other gods besides you. Amen. Hallelujah. The next thing he tells them to build is the showbread table. Showbread tables for where the bread put on, which represents the Word of God. The second thing you should always be anchored in is the Word of God. Amen. Anchored in the Word. Be a student of the Word. The third thing that is built is the candlestick. I want you to notice something about the candlestick. It said it was of hammered work. You cannot design it. You can't have any input in its design. You cannot join it together. You cannot make it happen. God will orchestrate and integrate the responsibility of the artisan's hands to build that thing out of one piece of gold. It is one. The seven spirits of God. You've got the knobs, you've got the flower, and you've got the almond itself. Three things. On each stem was three of each. Three times three times three is nine. There were seven of them. Three on that side, three on that side. 9, 18, 27, 9, 18, 27. But the middle one had four. Amen. So in all up, it added to 66 pieces. How many books in the Bible? 66. Including the New Testament. 66. And it was all lit, and the oil had to be produced, and the lamp was never to go out. In fact, it was written in Samuel that he said, before the lamp went out, there had to be a word of the Lord. There was shortage of the word or revelation, because that's what the candlestick brings, is revelation or illumination to the bread. Amen. You need the Holy Ghost. You cannot just have knowledge alone. You need the Holy Ghost to bring revelation to the word of God. You need the oil. You need the lamp to be showing bright in your life to bring revelation of the bread of life in your life. Otherwise, all you're eating is crackers. And they can be dry. Anyone had dry crackers? Eh? They're shocking. It can be dry. And sometimes in life, Christians get dry in reading their word because they're not getting revelation from the word because they're not being filled with the oil because their lamp has been going I need the oil. I need the presence of the Holy Ghost in my life to bring revelation of the Word of God. That Word of God then leads me to an altar of incense before the Holy of Holies. It brings me to a prayer life. If you lack a prayer life, it's usually because you lack reading the Word. There is no Word in you to pray. So we pray out of our emotions, but your emotions can only go so far. I need a revelation of the word to pray and intercede on the things of God. Can I hear an amen? Thanks, son. Hallelujah. The curtain. There's five pillars in the entrance of the holy place. Five pillars. Five means what? Grace. Everywhere you look, it's grace. Grace. Each of those curtains were held together by golden hooks. 50 of them. 50 literally means new season, new beginnings. Hallelujah. Who wants a new beginning? This curtain is heavier. This is not the light curtain from the outer court. This curtain is heavier. Made of white, blue, scarlet. There's another one. Can't remember. Threads. White is purity. Blue is royalty. Purple, I think it's purple. Yeah. Sorry, blue is redemption. Purple is royalty. Amen. Scarlet is the blood. It had to be in five pieces because it was so heavy. In fact, it was a hand's breadth thick. You're talking about kilos, tens and 20, 30 more. You had to sleep lower to be able to lift it up to get in. Only the priesthood could go there. The outer court man couldn't go in there. Only the priests. The book of Peter tells me you are a royal. You're a what? A royal priesthood. Every born-again believer is a priest. Hallelujah. You have the right to enter in. You have the right to be partakers of the things of the Spirit. You have the right to have revelation, and you have the right to be a prayer warrior and have intercession on your life. Amen. Who believes that this morning? The lamp in the Holy of Holies, or the holy place, is from the candlestick, revelation. But there's another light in another part of the tabernacle called the Holy of Holies. Called the Holy of Holies. Has four curtains, not five. Four equals seasons. In other words, when you want to enter this, you change the way you are. You come into a brand new season in your God. But it will cost you to bow. And it will cost you to humble yourself. Amen. It will cost you to read the word. It will cost you to have a prayer life. And God is leading and directing every one of us that are believers this morning into this Holy of Holies, where now in Christ Jesus, that curtain is now pulled down and it's torn from top to bottom to give you free access into the very presence of God Himself. This light is not from the candlestick. This light is His very Shekinah glory. The very isness of God Himself. The light that shone on the day of Genesis chapter 1 and 2. God said, let there be light. And there was light. But the sun and the moon were not created because they were created on the fourth day. So the first light that ever permeated the world was the light of His glory. Adam was designed to walk in that glory. You and I are designed to walk in that glory. Amen. So no matter what darkness surrounds me, there should be a light shining. Are you with me? You have been designed to be the tabernacle or the temple of the Holy Ghost, full of grace, built, established, firm foundation of the grace of God, the mercy of God, knowing that He will never leave me nor forsake me. Nobody will ever push me away and deny me. No, he will always have me in His hand, with my name written on the palm of His hand, knowing me by name. Born again, Son of the Most High God, brand new creation in Christ, a new beginning. So much so, the new beginning. When Israel were called out of Egypt, God said to him, today is a new day and a new month. Forget yesterday. Forget that month back there. This is a brand new month. Come on now. Who wants a new month? Who wants a new beginning? Who wants a brand new start in life? Glory to God. Your God and my God can do that. He can just change things like that. Hallelujah. All of a sudden, the priest can go in. A high priest called Christ in the book of Hebrews went in once for all. This ark, inside the ark, I've got to finish on this because I'll go too long. Inside the ark was the golden bowl, was the manna. Remember that? The manna, Aaron's rod that budded. Next, the law, Ten Commandments. Aaron's rod represents the Spirit of God and the life of God. The manna represents the what is of God. What is it? The bread of life. What's it going to say? Aaron's rod, bread, the commandments, which is the law. Which is the law. But on top of that, God said, now seal all that up. That is not your focus. Seal that up. Here's your focus. Build me a mercy seat. Hallelujah. Come on. His mercy is over all that. Build me a mercy seat. Make sure you've got two witnesses looking at the mercy seat that's full of the blood of the Lamb of God. Amen. Let heaven bear witness that that mercy seat's for you and I. And I will be over the mercy seat all the days I'm with you. Showing you that the blood has paid its price. That you're no longer under that law. Now you're under the grace and the mercy of your God. That's forever shining for you. Desiring you. Longing for you. That I have come down. That I might lift you up. You don't have to stay down. You don't have to stay the way you were. Your God's grace and your God's mercy is so great, it covers it all. And the blood of the Lamb has set me free from the power of sin and death. Hallelujah. Do you believe that this morning? Your God wants you to be the tabernacle of His presence, to experience the weight of His wonder and of His glory, that you just don't hold it for yourself, but you share it out. You demonstrate it out. You live it out. And no matter what the world is doing, and I'm telling you now, with all sincerity, the world is a mess. It's a mess. Terrorism. Dictators. Wars. Rumors of wars. I'm going to tell you, God is going to shake something. He's going to start shaking something, and in the midst of it, He's going to catch those He needs to catch. But He's going to start shaking something. And may I say this, don't look at the world for God to deal with it. The first thing He's going to deal with is His house. Judgment begins in the house of the... I don't judge you. You don't judge me. He does it. And may I say this, and I know I'm going on, but bear with me. He will make it so you can't judge them. At the wedding feast, all types came in. Remember the story? Now at a wedding feast, the father of the groom gives out the wedding garments in a Jewish tradition. They give out wedding garments. So everyone that walks in has a wedding garment. Amen? The wedding feast was on. Everyone's celebrating the wedding feast. But there was a man who didn't have the right garment. Remember that? Everyone around him didn't see that. Only the father. He knew what wedding garment was to be given. So He will blind people in the church so you get out of a critical spirit and judgmental attitude. He will blind you from what might be they might be doing. And it'll be God himself who is their judge. You and I have no right to judge them. I can judge what they've done. I can judge what they might have appropriated in life, but I have got no right to judge them. I can't tell someone they're going to hell. You've got no right to say that to anyone. As much as you've got no right to say you're going to heaven. That's for the Father. Are you with me? So we walk and we build ourselves in this grace, this mercy, and this love of the Father. Now he came down to lift them up. Here's my challenge to you this morning. Can I come down low enough to lift someone up? Or do I expect them just to get up? Can I go down low enough? Paul said, I became all things to all men, save not having the law of Christ. Anything contradicting Christ, he wouldn't do. But he became all things to all men to lift them up. Can I come low enough in my thinking, in my own ideologies, to say, I want to lift you up? Does it mean I agree with everything they know? But to reveal the Christ. You are the temple of the tabernacle of God Almighty. Amen? Let's stand. Otherwise, I'll keep going. Whew! There's no peace like the peace of Jesus. There is no love to compare to the love of the Father. No man, no woman, no child can show me the grace and the mercy that he can show me. Nothing of this earth can compare to the wonder of our God. He's not some concept. He's not some ideology. He's not some religion. He is real. And he's alive. Amen. I said to someone, I said, well, if you think he's a liar, I said, 3 billion people on this earth are duped. I said, but you're only one. I'd rather believe the 3 billion. He's real. He's alive. Yes. And I can bear testimony of his goodness because he changed me. Hallelujah. If you want a new season, first of all, I want to challenge you. Is my foundation built on the grace of God? Not of your own works, not of your own abilities, not of your own capacities, not of your own wisdom. Am I standing on the grace of God? Do I want to be a pattern son that would bear his image of the mercy? Do I want to be part of that inner pole that is hidden? To lock the planks together to build the house of the Lord. I don't want to be one that's external, that everyone can see. Do I want to be a pattern son of the Christ? Hallelujah. To bring change and have the power of the change of seasons in your life. Every eye closed, every head bowed this morning. If you want to see change, if you want to be that tabernacle, that temple, that true temple, if you want to humble yourself low enough to get in and say, Lord, I'm not going to let pride stop me anymore. I'm going to bow. I'm going to bow. If that's you this morning, I really believe he's looking for places to inhabit, to fill to the full with his glory this morning. You just lift up your hands before the Lord. Jesus, I want that fresh oil. Jesus, I want that fresh oil. I need that. I need you. Father, you see our hands raised this morning. God, fix us up. Change us. God, I don't want to be a house that's just swept. I don't want to be a house that's just been garnished. You don't do that. You wash. Wash me. Change me. Shape me. Mold me. Help me to be a pattern after your own son this morning, that I might bear the image of Christ on earth, that I would walk in the mercies and the grace and the love of my God, that this world might behold him, the Christ in me, the hope of all glory. I thank you this morning. I thank you for my prodigal. I thank you for my wayward. I thank you for the unbelievers around me. I thank you for the opportunity. I thank you I can be a light in the midst of darkness. I thank you I can be a revealer of you and your glory. Help me to be brave. Help me to be strong. Help me to lift up your standard. We thank and praise and bless your holy name. And I receive it by faith. That fresh oil this morning of your Spirit to bring change to my season. In Jesus' name I pray. And if that's you, shout an amen to the Lord. Hallelujah. He's a good God. Is he? He's a good God. In fact, he's the best. I'm going to pray for our food now. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I encourage you to talk to me after. Because there is no hope without him at all. There is no direction in life without him. And there's no truth without him. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the fellowship we're going to have right now. We ask you to bless our food, bless our conversation, Father. And God, we thank you so much that you came down to lift me up. I love you. I appreciate you. I adore you. And above all, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.